This is Contractor Sense with Ruth King.
Welcome to Contractor Sense. Here you discover ideas, tactics, news, and information that matters to your contracting business and you. I'm your host, Ruth King. This episode is sponsored by HVAC Trustbooks. Go to HVACTrustbooks.com to discover how this tool can help you close more sales. Thank you for joining us. Here is how we will help your business and you today. There have been times that I've wished that robots could do our employees' jobs. Imagine no one being late, every job being done perfectly. Since that's not a reality, at least not now, what can we do to handle our HR situations? My guest for the next two sessions is Susie Lemon, founder and CEO of Dynamic Corporate Solutions. Today we're talking about managing versus leading and how to accomplish both. Next week we will talk about some of the latest legal issues as they relate to HR. Susie, welcome to Contractor Sense.
Well, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Wouldn't you like a robot?
A robot would be wonderful. That would be very interesting until the robot goes rogue. And then I'm not so sure about it. It'll be just like an employee situation.
Yeah, I mean, somebody would program the robot and we'd have a situation where it went absolutely ape or bananas. And it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You're supposed to be predictable.
Exactly.
I don't think there's a human being that's predictable, do you?
No, and you know, people change too over time. And sometimes that's not so good for the employer. And, you know, we just have to be ready for different situations and be flexible because the times they are a-changing.
Yeah, for sure. And you've been started this business when it was like you.
Right.
Many, many, many years ago.
So I'm an entrepreneur too, much like contractors, in that, you know, I have my own employee issues and I have about 30 employees right now and been in business 25 years. So I have plenty of my own war stories.
Well, we'll get into some of those a little bit later, maybe, if we have time to do that. So let's talk about managing versus leadership. And the two are different, aren't they?
You know, being a good leader is tough. And, you know, traditionally we think of supervision and management in a certain way, but leaders like taking that up to the next level. And people, if you think about some of the leaders you admire, and the attributes they have, they come to mind fairly quickly. And horrible managers and supervisors also come to mind very quickly.
Yeah.
But there is a difference.
Absolutely. I mean, we all have had bosses that we've absolutely hated and swore we would never do that when we were a boss.
And really, kind of, if you conjure up, and I can do it in like a half a second, you know, a boss that I did not like, they were very controlling, very micromanagement, very judgmental, not open to my ideas, and basically critical of everything that I did. And you didn't want to get up in the morning. You didn't want to get out of bed. You didn't want to go to work. It wasn't motivational in any way, shape, or form. Now, having said that, you know, you can manage people and be more positive, or you can be a leader and push people to do their very best. And that's what true leadership looks like.
Yeah, you want to, and they want to do their very best rather than having the stick on top of them, so to speak.
Right. That is really the difference, in that, you know, you're not having to be responsible for everything, because people have self-motivation and they're out there and they really want the best for the team. And if somebody else drops the ball, they'll carry it because they've been inspired. And we know the best teams, you know, have that, where everybody looks out for each other and makes sure that everybody's a winner.
Yeah. I'll give you a really good example from my client base. We had in one of the companies I worked with back in the 90s, they had about 18 techs, so they were a fairly large company. And one of their techs' wives got into a car accident and died and left him with two children under the age of 5.
Oh my gosh, terrible.
So what they did, without any prompting or anything else like that, they voted themselves to take him off of call for a year so he could get his life back together, and then went to the service manager and said, do you mind if we do that? And of course he said, you know, but that shows you what that team spirit was around there.
Right. And, you know, it can be little things, like you're working on a project and all of a sudden somebody's sick and it's seamless. Somebody just, hey, I know that that person was working on these tasks and I'm taking them on. I can stay an extra hour tonight and I'll just do what they were doing. And, you know, it, how do you inspire that? It's inspirational. They have to feel the leader's passion, and they have to, you have to inspire that. It has to be inspirational. It can't be a command and control type situation. You don't get respect through command and control. It's the passion. It's the caring about the people as people. It's the seeing a vision of where people can go. And it's also capitalizing on people's strengths. You know, everybody has weaknesses. And if you just focus on that, you're going to be a miserable leader.
And you're going to have a miserable company.
Exactly. And that leads to lower profits because you don't have the productivity, you don't have engagement. And of course, engagement is a huge word these days, right? Mm-hmm. We want to engage workplace and people aren't engaged. They're surfing the web or doing social media while they're supposed to be working.
Or they're on their cell phones or taking 2 hours to change a motor out instead of taking an hour.
Or, I mean, you know, just you can slow the whole process down and you know, not care that you make mistakes and there's, you know, you have to scrap parts and things like that. And, you know, so how do we have something different than that? Well, it takes the leadership, and it's the leadership role that from the very beginning and how we treat people and how we inspire them makes all the difference in the world.
And, you know, think about it. You know, most of the people who own businesses, I mean, I would say 95% of the people or more who own HVAC or plumbing or electrical contracting businesses started out as a technician or an electrician or a plumber. They don't, you know, how do they get the leadership skills?
Right. And, you know, one of the things that, and that's hard when, you know, but you probably have had bosses at some point in your career that emulated some either very great behaviors or very lousy behaviors. And, you know, to start doing something different in terms of what you're doing now, and maybe you're an okay leader, but you want to be a great leader, you know, adding some fairly simple things that may seem like common sense, but you have to do them.
Like what?
You know, things like, you know, getting out there in the field with your people and giving them feedback and giving them, you know, looking at what they're doing and, you know, meeting with them on a regular basis and talking to them about them.
Yeah. I mean, I think of nothing more important than riding with the techs on their service calls or visiting jobs. You know, a lot of guys in the summertime will visit jobs and bring ice cream or bring a cold soft drink or cold water or something along those lines and just, you know, see what they're doing and get appreciations and say, here, you know, we appreciate you're working when it's, you know,
walking a mile in their shoes, you know, seeing what they're having to deal with and trying to be supportive of those things and give them ideas and help them develop. And, you know, all those things are things that employees watch and they, you know, and being a good role model for things is very important as well.
All right. When we get back, we'll talk about some more things to do and the differences between management and leadership. Thanks for listening to Contractor Sense. We'll be right back. I've seen my clients' salespeople struggle when a customer asks why they should use your company rather than the competition when your price is higher and you both are proposing the same equipment. I've seen technicians struggle when customers ask them whether they should replace an 18-year-old air conditioner. And most salespeople and technicians never ask the one question that most customers are concerned about, yet never ask. Can I trust you? I found a tool that gives your salespeople and technicians the ammunition to answer this question and more. And the tool works. How do I know? 68% of my clients are using it to increase sales and referrals. What is it? A trust book with your name on it as the author. More details are at HVACTrustBooks.com. Warning, there is only one contractor per area that can get these great books. Some areas are already taken. They've gone to my clients. If you want your area and want to have a tool for your salespeople and technicians to increase referrals and sales, then go to HVACTrustBooks.com now and reserve your area.
Don't let this happen to you. Here's a transcript of an email sent to Ruth King. Dear Ruth, I wish I had this book 2 years ago. I discovered my bookkeeper had embezzled over $200,000 from the company. I used to be debt-free. Now I have a mortgage and payments on other debt I incurred to relieve the cash flow crunch caused by the embezzlement. Don't let this sad situation be your story too. An epidemic of workplace thievery and embezzlement harms today's business world, our economy, and ultimately your income and net worth. Discover the top 50 ways employees and vendors steal from you in Ruth King's new book, The Ugly Truth About Cash. Ruth also gives you the procedures to implement to help prevent embezzlement and keep the honest people honest. Find The Ugly Truth About Cash on Amazon or go to www.thecouragetobeprofitable.com to order an autographed copy of Ruth's book. Get the information you need to protect your hard-earned cash and assets. That's thecouragetobeprofitable.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Contractor Sense. I'm here with Susie Lemon. Susie, thanks for joining us today.
I'm so glad to be here and talking about leadership and management.
Well, you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you've had good managers and you've had bad managers. Let's talk a little bit just about the difference between management and leadership. We know we have to inspire people as leaders and things along those lines, but we also have to make sure the day-to-day stuff gets done, correct? I mean, the techs have to go out and they have to talk to the customers the same way, park their trucks the same way. And that's more of a management thing, not a leadership thing, correct?
Right. So you still need to manage, but it's how you manage, too, that is the difference between that and leadership. So if you're managing by telling everybody what to do on every single aspect of their job, then you're more of a manager. If you want to be a true leader, then what you need to do is get input from your people and help them help you manage, right? So, you know, people want to have input on how they do the job. And that might be scheduling. It might be something new that people are learning and how that's organized. Instead of command and control, where you're telling them every single aspect of how to do it, you instead are getting their input and creating more of a team atmosphere. Now, you have to impart the vision. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we trying to accomplish here? What is our goal? And you've got to, you know, always positive about changes, because there's tons of change out there on what's happening and that this is going to be good. But at the same time, you're letting them have input in how they do their job and how work is organized, et cetera.
Yeah. And the customers have a great deal to say about it also, because if they're not happy, they're not writing your paychecks, which means that you're not going to have a job very long.
So, you know, having employees that are happy, that feel like they like to come to work in the morning, that all helps that customer service piece. Because then when they get out to the homeowner's location and they're working on their equipment or whatever they're doing, they're not negative.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing worse than, you know,
grumpy
having
a grumpy
service person. You know, and then you wonder whether or not they're going to break as much as they're going to fix.
Well, you wonder whether they can do their job at that particular point. It's funny because, you know, we all talk about meetings that we have with employees, and meetings is something that's absolutely critical to have to, you know, from your perspective, you probably have more meeting horror stories than I do. However, I watched one owner one day just ream his technicians and his, you know, field guys out and then said, "Meeting over." I was like dumbfounded, because they're going out the door negative, feeling awful, and then they're going to go see a customer.
Right. That's, you know, and one thing that we know about feedback, and you should not give feedback like that, and it may be just one of the guys that is the problem, and then you chastise everyone. Everybody that's doing their job is going to be resentful and disrespectful of you, thinking, why don't you deal with the one guy that's not doing their job? Why are you getting mad at me? I do my job. Well, maybe I should just not do my job now. So, you know, in management, we know you should take that one person aside and deal with that person and not chastise the whole group. The other piece of that is that, you know, even if you have someone that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you should, you know, try to find some things they do well and make sure you're sandwiching your feedback with something positive. Otherwise, you're probably not going to get any result at all.
And you may not get any result. And then that person goes through what I call the career readjustment program. He's not fit.
Right. And they may, you know, decide it's because of some protected class issue, their age, their gender, their their race or something, and that now you got a lawsuit. So how you handle, you know, performers, poor performers especially, is very important. And it's also a message to the rest of the team.
Yeah, because you can't let one guy get away with something that is not part of the
You have to be consistent. You need to be consistent with people.
Gee, where have I heard that word before?
Yeah, we love that consistency word, don't we? But, you know, it sounds like just a word, but putting it in action is hard. I mean, you really need to make sure that you're engaged with your people and you know what's going on and what they're doing and what they're not doing. And if you don't, it will come back to bite you.
Well, the really hard thing to do is when your best performer screws up. We're human. We all screw up. And you got to be as disciplining of him or her as your worst performer. You'll hate doing that one, and you'll enjoy your worst performer sometimes.
And we do have the tendency to ignore the people that we like, the mistakes that they make, and then zero in on people that maybe have a pattern. And, you know, you have to be careful of that. You need to address, make sure you have good work performance expectations that are defined, and deal with those. And if somebody, no matter who it is, doesn't meet their metrics, so to speak, you need to address it.
Yeah, good, better, and different.
And that's the very meaning of consistency.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some of the legal things when we get together next time. So in the short time we have left together, you've got an HR toolkit, don't you?
We have a toolkit, and it's designed to be a supportive safety net for a business owner. And the idea is it has policies and all the forms you need by state and by the size of your organization. So it's compliant. It has a helpline, including a labor law attorney, so you can call and ask advice about your situations or if you have questions that come up. We keep everything in the toolkit updated so you don't have to ever feel like you don't know what the latest laws are. And then the fourth piece is we do have training that's part of the toolkit subscription.
And the thing is that it is state dependent, because rules in California are not the same as the rules in Florida, which are not the same as the rules in New York, and da 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 da, right?
Exactly. So these days you have federal law, state law, local laws, and that could be your county, it could be down to actual city, and I mean, there's just so many areas where you can get fined or sued. And, you know, you need a good partner that is going to help keep you out of trouble.
All right. So if they want the HR toolkit, how do they get it?
You can buy it on our website at dynamiccorp.com, DynamicCorp.com. And it's called the HR toolkit.
All right. Cool. Susie, thanks so much for being here. And I look forward to our next session when we start talking about not getting into an orange jumpsuit.
There we go. That's important. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us. Choose one thing that you discovered and implement it in your business. These ideas, tactics, and strategies help you make more money, have more free time, and give back. If you like today's program, spread the word. Please review this podcast on any device you're listening to it on. Help a fellow contractor make more money too. For comments or questions, or if you'd like a brochure of our classes, books, and manuals, call me at 770-729-0258. Or email Ruth King at hvaccchannel.tv. Thanks for listening. Have a great and profitable day.